Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help.
You may think that your team and your organization is ready for organizational change, but chances are they're not. Today, I want to talk about the biggest signs of change resistance within your organization. My name is Eric Kimberling. I'm the CEO of Third Stage Consulting. We're an independent consulting firm that helps clients throughout the world with their digital and business transformation journeys. And when we're working with organizations throughout the world, whether it's a digital transformation, a business transformation, or any sort of change initiative, oftentimes we hear executives say that change resistance will not be a problem. Our team is open to change, we're ready for change, and we don't need to invest a lot in change management. And so rather than just tell you that you're wrong and you need to look at change management more succinctly, what I want to do today is talk about what those signs of change resistance are, those unintended signs or those things that you may not be looking for that are strong indicators that you are going to face resistance to change. I would say that an overwhelming majority of clients that we work with, their teams on the surface are ready for change. They're embracing the change. They recognize a need to do something different. Perhaps the old systems and processes are clearly not going to get them to where they need to be in the future. So on the surface, it all sounds good, but this is a dangerous assumption that the change is going to be easy. Just because people want to change and they think that change sounds good in theory and they're ready for change in theory, doesn't mean that they're ready, doesn't mean that they're not going to resist it later on. So this is a very dangerous sign to watch for when you think that your team is ready. They're telling you all the things you want to hear, which is the old systems aren't working, therefore we need to change. That's probably true on the surface. I don't want to suggest that your employees or your team members are lying to you, but they don't know yet what the change entails. And once we get into what the change entails, that's when the resistance begins. So watch for that phenomena of believing that your team's ready for change, therefore change resistance doesn't exist. Therefore, change management isn't going to be hard because that's simply not true. Another sign to watch for is the executives that are over-delegating to the project team. And what I mean by this is that they're assuming that the project team is going to make the major decisions that are going to drive the change. So for example, if you're an organization that's trying to drive efficiency, you're trying to drive a common operating model, you're trying to drive significant process improvements, you can't necessarily just rely on your project team or rely on your software or your software vendor to enable that change. It needs to come from the top. And oftentimes it's the executives that need to make those tough decisions and set that clear tone and direction for what the changes are. So in the absence of that clarity and that leadership and direction from your executive team, chances are the project team is going to take the path of least resistance, which is to not change and keep things the way they are. And you end up simply implementing new technologies using the same broken processes that you had before. So watch for that phenomena where the executive team sort of delegates or relegates responsibility to the project team. They fail to set that clear tone and that clear direction and expectation setting for what the transformation should be. And therefore, the team ends up resisting the change and instead paving the cow path, so to speak, to automate the way they've always done things. Another sign of change resistance you'll want to watch for is the whole concept of we've always done it this way. We have a certain set of processes or way of operating. We've always done it a certain way. We can't quite explain why we do it that way. No one can remember why or when we started doing that way, but it's just the way we've always done it. And this is probably one of the biggest signs of resistance that you get is because no one can really explain why the processes work the way they do. And they also can't explain why you shouldn't be perhaps doing those broken processes. And sometimes it can be difficult to see the forest for the trees on ways you can improve that business process. So when you hear people say that we've always done it this way, or it has to be a certain way, why would we change now when we've always operated in a certain way? That's a sign of change resistance. And that's usually a good indicator that you're experiencing change resistance. And another one to watch for that's sort of a nuance of we've always done it this way is the regulatory excuse. A lot of times companies will say, or project team members will say, that we can't change our process because either customers require it or the government, local regulatory requirements require us to do it a certain way. Sometimes it can be a means of resistance. So watch out for this phenomena that we commonly see with clients.
If you are trying to achieve digital transformation success, turn to Third Stage Consulting Group. Third Stage's independent and technology-agnostic consulting team helps clients define their digital strategies, select the right software, and manage their implementations. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Australia, our team helps the world's most forward-thinking organizations through their transformation pitfalls and risks. Whether you are embarking on an ERP, HCM, CRM, supply chain management, or any other digital transformation, contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.
Another reason why your employees and team members will inevitably resist change is because they don't understand the change. They don't understand why we're doing it. They don't understand what it means to them, and they just don't understand the purpose of the change. So it's really important to set that tone and direction and vision for what this transformation means to the organization, what it means to their work group, to them individually, and how it's going to benefit all parties involved. And it's also important to not only set that vision, but to also help each individual, each work group, each department, each location within your organization, help them understand how their jobs and what their world is going to look like after the implementation or after the transformation is complete. If they don't understand what things are going to look like on the other side, they're going to revert back to what they've always done, and that's going to be their comfort zone, and they're going to want to stay in their comfort zone. So you really need to set the tone and a clear vision of what the future state is going to look like. And I'm not just talking about what the new technology tool is going to be or how the software is going to be designed. I'm talking more importantly about what their processes are going to look like, what their role is going to look like. If you're automating some of their job, what are they going to do to fill their time with that remaining time that you've now automated? Those are the types of things you need to think about and have real clarity and communication with your team on what that's all going to look like. Otherwise, they're going to resist the change. Another reason why employees and team members will commonly resist change is because we haven't clearly defined what's in it for me or the WIFM for the overall transformation. So I talked a moment ago about how we need clarity on what the jobs are going to look like and what processes are going to look like and what the tools are going to look like. But we also need to explain and define what's in it for me. What is this project going to do to help me do my job better and help me contribute to the goals and the vision of the organization more effectively? If I don't understand that, then chances are I'm not going to embrace the change. And worse yet, I'm probably going to resist that change. So if you truly want to overcome that resistance and mitigate the resistance along those lines, and go one step further and get people to embrace the change and get excited for the change, you want to make sure that they understand what's in it for me and how am I contributing to the bigger, broader goals of the organization. If you're in the early stages of a transformation or even in the midst of a transformation that involves technology, and you're finding that there's a lot of requests for customization, or you're finding that you're needing to change the software quite a bit to meet your business requirements, you might want to call a timeout and really look and dig into what those customization requests are. Because what we often find is that customization requests are less to do about the software and more to do about organizational resistance. So in other words, if I don't like the way a software works because I like the way I do things better, or I like my spreadsheet, or I'm just comfortable with my legacy system the way it is, I might suggest that you should change the new software to fit the way I do things now. And oftentimes that requires customization when I don't want to use the software the way it was designed to be built. So when you see customization requests, it's not that you always want to assume the worst, but you do want to assume the possibility that maybe we don't really need to change the software. Maybe there's nothing wrong with the software. Maybe it's a form of resistance, because oftentimes it is. In fact, in some of the project recoveries we do, the expert witness work we do, when over-customization is a big problem in those failures, oftentimes it's not the fact that the software didn't work the way it should have, or the software couldn't support the business needs. Typically it's because organizational change management and resistance to change was not managed effectively. Therefore, people started requesting changes to the software rather than looking at how they might change their jobs or improve their business processes. So you want to make sure that you look at software customization, not just as a technical issue, but also as a change management issue as well. If you're an organization that has inconsistent business processes throughout the organization, either because you've grown organically and opened multiple locations, or perhaps you've gone out and acquired other companies, and you have these inconsistent operations, chances are very high that you're going to have resistance to change when you try to change those processes. And the reason for that is because people have developed their own processes and systems to meet and satisfy their own needs, but not necessarily the broader needs of the organization. And the minute you come in and say, now we're going to standardize processes, or we're going to move to a common tool set, common operating model, people will inevitably dig in their heels and fight the change to some degree, some more than others. So if you have inconsistent business processes as an organization, especially if you're in a merger and acquisition growth type of environment, you want to assume that you are going to get resistance to change. You need to spend a lot of time upfront before you ever start implementing software. You need to spend time to look for commonalities in your business processes and define what that standard operating model will be in those areas where you do want to standardize your business processes. If you try to do this while the implementation's happening, it's going to spiral out of control. It's going to get very expensive. It's going to take way too much time and money, and you're going to go through a lot more heartburn than you need to. So spend that time up front to mitigate those risks by creating a common business process blueprint prior to the implementation. And if you do find yourself in a situation where you still have inconsistent business processes, just recognize that that will be a source of resistance. If you haven't clearly defined job roles for people within the organization and what their roles are going to look like post-implementation, they will resist the change. And I've mentioned before how lack of understanding and the understanding of what's in it for me can be sources of resistance. This one's similar, but a bit different, in that you need to take the time to design people's jobs, design their roles and responsibilities and expectations, so that by the time you get to the go live, by the time you deploy new technology, they fully understand and embrace what that new job is. If you wait until after the implementation, they're going to resist the change along the way because you don't understand what the job is going to look like in the future. So you do want to spend a certain amount of time during the transformation as early as possible, as early as you can, in defining what job roles are going to be and to spend time on organizational design throughout the transformation. Now, this is an area that's heavily influenced by your process improvements. So as you define your future state operating model and business processes and your process reengineering, that's inevitably going to affect how people's jobs will look. And so you can use that as an opportunity to not just assume that someone's job is going to be highly automated and they're going to be more strategic in their jobs, which a lot of organizations will say, but what does that mean to be more strategic? What does it mean to automate my job? What am I going to do to fill my time now that you've automated a certain amount of my time every day? Those are the types of things that you need to think about and make sure you address. Otherwise, people will resist change when their jobs aren't clearly defined later on. So I hope this has given you a good understanding of what some of those biggest sources of resistance are and the biggest signs of resistance are. And if you see one or more of these symptoms in your organization, be ready for it and be ready to mitigate those risks and those challenges with a solid organizational change plan. And to better understand how to manage organizational change in your organization as part of your transformation, I encourage you to download our guide to organizational change management. I included a link to that below. Hopefully that'll give you some additional guidance on how to manage organizational change and the people, human side of your transformation. So I hope you found this information useful. Check out some of the other links and downloads I've included below. Hope you have a great day, and we'll see you soon.
Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.